We started a series just a couple weeks ago called Fundamentals for our spring study together, and we've looked at the necessity and priority of Scripture and prayer, and kind of the premise to the series is that, a lot of times as men, as individuals, we can jump past foundational and fundamental things, trying to jump to the quote-unquote greater things. And I used the example the first week of if you watch kids learning how to play basketball today or sport today, everybody wants to imitate their favorite star. And, I mentioned when I was at, a junior high basketball game, watching this basketball game, I was amazed how many kids are shooting from 3 feet behind the three-point marker because three-point line because they want to be like Steph Curry or they want to be like, NBA shooters. And they don't necessarily know how to do a correct bounce pass or layup, but they're chucking up threes from – everybody wants to jump to stardom and do amazing things. They neglect the fundamentals, the basics. And I think that's true sometimes in our walk with Christ, that if you talk to someone like, hey, how would you like to do great things – for God? How would you like to see God accomplish amazing and great things in your life? And people were like, absolutely, I want to see a miracle. I want to see God do that. But then when it comes to the day-to-day faithful living for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's less exciting, that's less, attractive to us. And so sometimes we can overlook those foundational, fundamental things. And so the desire of this series is that we would come back to some basics, fundamentals that are absolutely necessary for our lives as men if we want to honor the Lord. And so we started with that foundation of Scripture week one, and then went into prayer. And tonight we're going to look at another area that I feel like as believers we really need to get a grip on and grasp on as men. But I want to start just by reminding us of something from last series in James chapter 1. And I'm going to start by reading this text to us again that we looked at, and I think it's foundational for a lot of what we're talking about in this series. But he says this in James chapter 1, "Know this, my beloved brothers," starting in verse 19, "let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." There's a very clear foundation of instruction here that is being given to the believers here, that it's absolutely essential and necessary as men who want to honor God, as believers in Jesus Christ, that we receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls, that we're putting away those things that previously marked our lives as unbelievers, and we're putting on those things that should mark our lives as believers. So receiving the word. But then he says this, verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And so I want to start off with that foundation because we're doing things a little bit different tonight than we typically do, a little bit different format. We're going to begin tonight by discussing at our tables some of those questions that are on the handout for you tonight. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to come up after a little bit and we're going to discuss those questions together and answer those questions and look at some different passages of Scripture that I believe speak to it. But I want to share James chapter 1 with you because here's what I want to remind us of anytime we talk about anything as it relates to our living as believers in Christ, as men of God who want to honor God. The Word of God is our foundation, right? The Word of God is absolutely essential for us. And there is a responsibility on us as men not only to know the Word and to receive the Word, but to put it into practice in our lives. And that's what we want to seek to do as we study the Word together, is that we want it to bring life change, transformation, but call us to a point of action. It should impact us in our action, not just in our thinking, but in our actions. And so tonight, I really want to move us in a particular direction of action. And that's going to be, I think, pretty clear as we go throughout the night tonight. So here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to spend some time at your tables discussing the questions. Work through those together in this area of leadership. And then what I'm going to do is come up, go through a couple of those questions, give you a little bit more time for some discussion, and then kind of leave with some challenges as we wrap up tonight. So start there. And here's what I'm asking. While you're answering these questions, as much as I'm sure you have great thoughts, insights, etc., the questions are being asked with the assumption that you know, as a follower of Christ, our authority is God's word, right? So What I don't want necessarily is everybody around the table to go, well, I think. This isn't meant to sound harsh, but doesn't really matter what we think if it's not something that is true of God's word, right? And so what I'm asking in our discussion is to be thinking in these questions in light of what you know the word of God teaches. Okay? I'm not asking you to think about these questions in light of simple experience or simple what you've been taught from source. I'm asking in light of what we know about God's word, how would you answer these questions? And so take some time together and then we'll discuss them. Thanks, guys. As we look at a couple of these questions, and I want to share with you some verses that I think are helpful, impactful as we look at some of this. And Andy, who's working with us, and can we just show appreciation for Andy, by the way? He does sound every week in the PowerPoint. Thank you, Andy, for being here and doing that. But he has a microphone. I want to get some responses tonight, which we typically don't do, but I want to do that. This first question, does every man have a responsibility to be a leader as a follower of Christ? That's a yes or no question, but also in what way? So I'm just curious, someone that maybe as a representative of their table or just an individual at your table, you don't have to represent everybody else. How would you respond to that? Of, is there a responsibility on every man as a follower of Christ to be a leader in some capacity? And if so, in what ways? Right back there in the middle there, Andy.
Is it turned on? My name's Wayne, and at our table, we discussed this, and of course, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, as Christians, we're given the responsibility as men to be leaders in our homes and wherever we're at. Not make believe, but we are supposed to step up and be responsible to study the scriptures so we can tell whoever you're discussing with what the scripture says, not what you think, but what the scripture actually says.
Appreciate that response. Somebody else, your table maybe, how you saw that, an answer to, do we have a responsibility as men, as Christians? Does every man have a responsibility to be a leader in some capacity as a follower of Christ? Everybody shy. Throw those hands up. Someone throw a hand up and answer that question. Yeah, right down here to Don in the front here.
Hey, Don. Hi. Yeah, I'm Don. We would definitely agree what was just shared. We talked about that as well. But the first thing that we did was we said, okay, let's define, what do we mean by a leader? You know, if we're not on the same, if we don't define a leader the same way, and so what we concluded as well is a leader is also a person of influence. It isn't just somebody who's in a position. And so we have a responsibility to be a person of influence. And so we talked a lot about that as well.
Yeah, very good point. And you know, not to jump ahead here, but that's one of the distinctions that I'm going to help us to understand of the difference between what we would consider the office of leadership, maybe in the church as an elder, a pastor, the office of leadership in a position, whether it's at a place of authority at work or in a position of authority as it relates to society in an actual office of leadership, and then the actual position of leadership when it comes to that area of influence and, you know, setting an example, setting influence, leading others that would then follow the example you're setting. And I would agree with both of these comments that have been made that I believe the answer to the question very clearly is a yes. That as a man who is a follower of Christ that's in this room, if you know Christ as your Savior, you have a responsibility to be a leader in some capacity. All of us do. And I would agree as well, which I'm sure some of you talked about at your tables, God gives gifts, the specific gift of leadership and calling to leadership as it relates to the office of and position of leaders, that not everyone has that same calling or gifting. But when we talk about this area of influence, when we talk about this area of example, when we talk about this area of leading others with influence as an example, for Christ, every man has a responsibility to be a leader in some capacity. Now, here's what's interesting. Someone had just shared, I heard someone say this, that they, when this question was asked, the answer was, of course, but not everyone does. Of course, but not everyone does it, right? And so I hope as men, first of all, you're prepared for this. You and I have a responsibility as men who love and follow Christ to be leaders, influencers, examples that others should be able to look at and follow. And let me just give you some scripture that speaks to this. And I believe this is something that we can categorize in a lot of different areas. But whether you're young or old, you have a responsibility to be a leader, to have influence, to be an example for others to follow. In Titus chapter 2, we read in Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works in your teaching. Show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us." He specifically speaks to the example, the model, both with men and women, the older women that they're to be to the younger women, and the older men that they're to be the younger men. There's a model that should be taking place. That's leadership. That's influence. That's example that is to be followed. So listen, if you're in here, and this is, again, this is a somewhat difficult term to describe when we say the older. But if you're here and you would say, listen, like, I'm too old to be a leader, actually, you're precisely old enough to be a leader, right? Because you are called by God to be a leader in this capacity to the younger. And setting that tone, setting that example, setting that influence in their lives. In 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul's writing, the context of 1 Timothy 4, Paul's writing to Timothy, who's a young pastor. And he's leading and shepherding the flock of God. And Paul's writing to Timothy, and Timothy was a son of his in the faith. And he says to Timothy, in just an isolated verse, but contextually, he's talking to Timothy about how Timothy should be a leader, an example, a faithful pastor, how he should shepherd the flock. And he says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." And so in Titus, you have this specific instruction to the older. In Timothy, and I know Timothy was a young pastor, and some people make the argument, well, the only reason Paul said let no one despise their youth is because Timothy was a pastor specifically. I don't think that's true, because the same principles are taught elsewhere in Scripture, that every believer is to be a follower of Christ that is setting the example to a watching world. And there's plenty of passages, and we'll talk about some of them that would speak to this. But you have two extremes here. You have the older and you have the younger. And so I would say this, both young and old have a responsibility to be a leader in some capacity as it relates to influence, example, and their following after Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus, you have a responsibility to lead those God has placed under your care and under your influence. You are called, I am called, to lead others to Christ, to be an example of Christ, to be a model of Christ to a watching world that's around us. And this is what we saw in the example of so many of the apostles. We see this in the example of follow me as I follow Christ. We see this in the example that Jesus gave when he said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus speaks about the model that should be prevalent coming from our lives, shining from our lives, to a world that is watching, so that ultimately God is glorified. When Peter tells us to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us, there's influence there. There's a model presented there. There is an example that's presented there. Someone mentioned it already about husbands. You're to lead your wives. You're called to lead and love your wife. Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, where we speak about the role and relationship of a husband, a wife, and children in the home. Very clear leadership that is given to the man, to the husband, in leading his wife. Guys, that's a responsibility you and I have as men. If you're married, you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to lead our wife. That's a responsibility God has given to us. And really, I want, and the same is true as it relates to if you're a dad and the responsibility you have to have influence in the example, in leadership of your children in your home. That's a responsibility that God has given and that God has commanded. And if we can be honest, so many of the problems that exist today and the difficulties that exist today in so many families and relationships is really truthfully because men are not taking the leadership that they should, that God's called them to do. And it's led to all sorts of problems, and that shouldn't be surprising. But here's what is so difficult, and it's hard, and I know I don't want to just come across like browbeating tonight, but guys, listen, we know what God says about these areas, and some of us tonight are so intimidated and timid and reluctant to want to take on that role and responsibility because we care more about self-preservation than we do ultimately fulfilling the role that God has called us to. And it can't be that way. It's very clear. If you are here as a believer in Christ, you're called to have influence, to set the example, and to lead others towards Christ. If you are married as a husband, you're called to lead your wife. If you are a dad, you're called to lead your children. You're called to be an example for them to follow. If you're a boss at your work, you're called to lead your employees with integrity and truth and with Christ-likeness in all that you do. If you are a coworker, you're called to lead and to have influence. If you're an employee, you're called to lead and have influence. If you're a teammate, you're called to lead and have influence. If you're an older man or a younger man, you're called to lead and have influence. And really, guys, this should humble us. It really should humble us. It should cause us to go humbly before our God in petition and prayer for wisdom, direction, strength, and resolve. And here's what I find so difficult, right, is if we're honest about this. This is why I put this in the category of a fundamental. Like, this is not deep theology that we're talking about tonight. This is not difficult truth that has to be searched in the scriptures to come to some of these conclusions. These are foundational and fundamental things for our families, for marriages, for our relationships, and for our influence in the world that we find ourselves living in as followers of Christ. I don't think a single man here, not a single man here would say, no, I don't have a responsibility to seek to reach out to those that are lost. I don't think a single man here would say, no, it doesn't apply to me that I should, you know, be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I don't think a single man here would argue that it's not our responsibility as followers of Christ to have influence in the world that God's placed us in and to set the example of Christ's likeness, to let our light shine, to give an answer for the hope that's within us. I don't think any of us would deny that. I don't think a single man in here that's married would deny that the Word of God clearly teaches that we are to lead our wife and as a dad, to lead our family, to lead our children. I don't think anybody in here would disagree with that. But isn't it interesting that when we ask the question, does every single man who's a follower of Christ have a responsibility to be a leader, we can like be really puzzled over that question. And I believe the majority of the time, the reason that we're so puzzled over it is because we're thinking about our own lives and we hate to come to the conclusion that if I answer yes to that, that means I might have a responsibility to lead in some capacity, and that terrifies me. But I think it's very clear what the answer is here. Yes, every man has a responsibility that knows Christ as Savior to be a leader in regards to the influence, example, and leading others towards Christ. And taking that ownership of the leadership role God's placed in our lives, regardless of how we feel about it. And this goes back to that question that I started with in regards to the foundation of God's word. You know, what matters more, how we feel or what God says? It's what God says. And that's where I want to lead us and bring us to some points of action in a moment. Number two, what makes a strong leader? Why would you consider yourself to be a strong leader? Or I'm sorry, would you consider yourself to be a leader, strong leader? Why or why not? So let me ask this, and you don't have to indict yourself or prop up yourself. What do you think makes for a strong leader? And I want you to think about what the scriptures teach about this, what you've observed. What makes for a strong leader? Biblically speaking, what makes for a strong leader? Service, servant, someone who is a servant. And here's what's, we'll keep going, but yes, servant. What else?
Integrity.
Andy, we'll just have him shout it out so that way guys aren't worried about the microphone. Humility. There was another. Accountability. Strong convictions. Biblical convictions. leading with love, demonstrating, and really that's Christ-likeness, isn't it? With the loving as Christ loved us. Humility, humble, being humble. Consistency, okay? Righteousness in our living, living rightly before the Lord and upholding what is right before the Lord. What else? Okay, uncompromising. There's not a compromising of our convictions, of our faith in the midst of whatever is thrown our way. Someone else said something back here. Gratitude, right? I mean, we can list these things. Here's what's very interesting to me about these things. Most of these things that we just talked about are not things that would make the list of the world's top characteristics of strong leaders. I mean, think about that. Do you know how people would react if they're like, what makes for a strong leader? And like, humility, service, what? Love, huh? Right, like if that's what we're talking, especially to a group of men. Guys, I hope this serves as an example. This isn't our home. And the standards, an example, and truth, quote unquote, of the world is not the standard and the truth and the example that Christ has left for us. And so when we list these things right on, like these are things that should be true of anyone who is going to be a strong leader. But can I just connect the dot for us for a second? All of these things that you just listed, aren't those equally things that should be true of every one of us as a follower of Christ? And so what you're telling me is what makes for a strong leader is all these characteristics that, oh, by the way, God in his word has specifically commanded every believer to pursue, possess, demonstrate, and live in. Isn't that remarkable? Especially in light of the first question, right? And so it really is convicting, I hope. It's convicting for me as I think about, you're right on with the things that you guys listed about this. Humility, this is what I put down. Humility, integrity, conviction, righteousness, service, esteeming others better than ourselves, Christ-like love and humility, a proper view of self and a proper view of God. I love this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul just reminds us about the people God uses. He says, consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. He chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. He chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, let one who boasts, boast in the Lord. What makes for a strong leader? It's a man of God that is trusting in Christ, that is following Christ, that is putting into practice what Christ demands, what Christ has called us to, what Christ has demonstrated for us. It's a proper view of self and a proper view of God. It's dependence on the Lord. And here's what's interesting, guys. The reason so many men hesitate when they think about being a leader is because when they think about what it means to be a leader, we so often associate what it means to be a leader with the standards of the world, not the standards of God. Because when you look at this in 1 Corinthians, Paul lays this out and he talks about basically like, it's not the world's standards. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not according to worldly standards. Not many of you were of noble birth according to worldly standards. Not many of you were wise, again, according to worldly standards. But God has chosen to use those he's using, not in their power, but through the power that he gives. This makes me think of like in our series that we just finished on vintage. We talked about these stories of the Old Testament and how often in these stories, and if you didn't listen to the series, go listen to the series. I hope it will be challenging for you. But so many times when we look at these stories in the Old Testament, God makes a point to make something abundantly clear. I am going to do something that only I can do, and I want to make it abundantly clear that it's me that's doing it. And so God puts people in positions where the only explanation is an all-powerful God must have done this. Guys, it becomes a lot less intimidating to consider being a leader when we recognize God's standards and calling on our life as a believer are the standards and calling that he has fully equipped us and provided for us to be able to complete. That's incredible. It's his work and not our own. He has to do that. And there has to be a dependency on him. And so I want to connect those dots again for us when we think about what makes for a strong leader. Who's called to lead? Every believer in Christ is called to be a leader in some capacity, to have influence and example. How in the world could we possibly do that? Well, let's talk about what that means and what it looks like. Oh, that looks like all of the things that God has called every believer to put into practice in their lives. And so as we're doing that, we can be leading others in our doing of that, pursuing those things. Can it be intimidating? Absolutely. Should it cause us in humility to fall on our faces before God, acknowledging we can't do this on our own? Absolutely. But is it a responsibility that we each have? Absolutely. So here's what I want to do. I just want to give you, because we're really running short on time. I can't believe how fast, at least in my opinion, the time is going. I want to revisit question three. I want to give you a couple minutes at your table to revisit this. In what way does God want you personally to be a leader? In light of what we just talked about, some of the things that we've introduced, in what way does God want you personally to be a leader? And here's what I'm going to ask, just to keep us on track. I don't want any rabbit trails. At your table, I would like each guy to just go around and answer this question. In what way does God want you to be a leader? And I want you to be able to share that at your table. And then I would like you to have maybe one or two people just pray for the table that we would serve in that capacity that God has called us to as leaders. So take a couple minutes just to do that around the table and then pray for one another that that would happen in our relationship with Christ and our influence in the world. Go ahead and do that. All right, gentlemen. I'm trying to be sensitive time-wise because I know many of you, your wives are in the women's studies and they wrap up at 8, so I'm trying to end shortly after 8 if I can to try to be sensitive to that. But let me just give you two additional passages that I want you to read and to really look at as we're considering this area of leadership. Questions 4 and 5, very similar to what question 2 was, that a lot of the answers that were given, I think we're going to fit in questions 4 and 5, but would love for you to check out Philippians chapter 1, 27 to 30. Familiar portion to probably most of you here, but Paul says this, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. You know what that speaks to me of? That speaks of strong influence, example, and leadership in the life of the believer that is going to bring upon them suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. And it's what we're promised. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's what Jesus said. He said, if the world hates me, it will hate you. He says that in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But as you look at Philippians chapter 1, and you can revisit that because we don't have a lot of time to just break that down. But in verses 27 to 30, there's a calling on the life of the believer in Christ to live a life in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. Being resolved, being set in the direction and course for the gospel, ultimately recognizing it has been granted to you for the sake of Christ, not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake. Men, we need to be setting the example and the influence and the leadership in that capacity in our lives in so many ways. And so strong leaders and leaders that are worth following as believers in Christ are those that are going to be resolved to being a doer of the word of God. There are a lot of individuals, and we probably could name them off in our own lives, of men, in particular men, that we know have great knowledge of the Word of God, but when it comes to actually putting it into practice, living it out, enduring what comes from living out the truth of the gospel, they are far from setting the example in that. My heart would be that not one of us as men would be content with simply puffing up our knowledge, but that we would be being a doer of the word, as we read in James as we started, and in doing the word, showing forth influence, example, and leadership for those that are watching us. And then consider the life of Jesus. What do you see from the life of Christ that makes him the greatest of leaders? There are so many passages of scripture where Christ demonstrates true leadership. You can think about his dinner with the disciples in the upper room, prior to his crucifixion, and he sets an example as he washes their feet and tells them to go and do likewise. We can see the example of Christ in his submission to the will of the Father and leading them in that capacity. But I think Philippians chapter 2, fantastic passage, verses 1 through 11. Take the time, we're not going to read it through tonight, but take the time to read that and look at the mind of Christ that's described there. Look at the example of Christ that's described there. And I think what you're going to see in the example of Christ are the same characteristics that we talked about earlier in answering number 2 of what should be true of a strong leader. And here's what Paul is challenging the believers. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's challenging them to live out that same mindset in our living, to be unified around that same mindset. And so really want to challenge us to read that and implement that in our lives. So here's what I want to wrap up with. As men who follow Christ, we have a responsibility to lead, every one of us in some capacity, to lead, to have influence, to set the example, and to have that influence in the world in which we're living. Strong leaders who follow Christ will demonstrate humility, a dependence on God, conviction and commitment to the word of God, and a boasting not in self, but in the God that they serve. Men who follow Christ are men who will be faithfully leading others and modeling Christ in their living, and they'll be pointing the glory to the Lord and not to themselves. So as we close, guys, let me encourage you to lead as God has called you to. Listen to me. Everybody look up here, because I need you to look up here. I need your eyes. If you are a husband here tonight, it is your responsibility as given by God to be a leader for your wife. That is your responsibility, to lead your wife in a manner that honors the Lord and cares for her in a way that honors the Lord, to love her as Christ loved the church. If you are a husband and also a father that is here, if you are a dad in here, it is your responsibility to be a leader in your home, to train up your children in the way that they should go, to set the example for your children in your home, to love them, care for them, and lead them as God has called you to. If you're an older man in this room, you have a responsibility to be a leader towards the younger men that are around you, to set an example of the believer for them, to model that. That's what he talked about in Titus, to model that for them, what it means to understand, know, and live out sound doctrine in your life. If you're a younger man in this room, you have a responsibility to set an example for others of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to set the example of Christ for the believer. If you are a believer in this room today, you have a responsibility as an ambassador of Christ and as a follower of Jesus to lead others to Christ, to point them to Jesus, to let your light shine that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. If you are a believer in this room tonight, read Ephesians chapter 5. You are called to be an imitator of God, so that would be seen in your living. Every one of us has that responsibility. Guys, listen to me. You and I have a responsibility tonight to be a leader in these capacities. The question is not, do you agree with it? I know you do. If you believe God's word, you agree with it. The question is, will you do it? Will I do it? Because that's what God has asked of us. Is it going to be hard at times? Yes. Could it create some turmoil sometimes? Yes. But are you prepared, because of obedience to what God says in his word, to endure that? Why don't you just close your eyes, bow your heads for a moment? We don't do this often. Feel really strongly about this area, though, when it comes to leadership. And I just want to ask tonight, if you're here and God maybe has convicted you, challenged you, and kind of brought to the forefront in your mind an area in your life that you are not leading where you know God wants you to lead, you're not having influence and set an example where you know clearly God wants you to, and you feel pretty convicted about that tonight, and you want me to pray for you in that area, go ahead and slip up your hand now if that's you. Yeah, some of you put your hands up before I even said put your hands up. I appreciate that. But yeah, keep them up for just 1 second, guys, because I just want to scan the room real quick so I can pray for you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Good. Yeah, you can put them down. Let me uphold you before the Lord. Father, thank you for your word and the challenge that your word gives to us. God, I'm just struck again and again by the words that James penned and under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, as pen met paper, as that inspired text was written, that we are not to be a forgetful hearer of the word, but to be a doer of the word. I pray that that would be the desire of our hearts, I pray for all these men who raised their hands tonight, many of us that in this room have conviction about areas that we know you want us to lead in, but we have hesitated for whatever reason, whether it's we feel inadequate, which we are apart from you, or it's because we feel intimidated, which oftentimes happens, or we feel that we just don't measure up. God, I pray that you would remove any doubt, any fear, any anxiety that would cause us to not pursue what we know you want us to pursue in this area of leadership. I pray for every man in this room, every husband, that he would lead his wife as you would intend for him to. Every dad, that he would lead in his family, his home, as you've intended him to. For the older men to lead the younger men, and the younger men to set an example for the believer and not be despised because of their youth. For every believer to point others to Christ, to be your ambassadors, to be your spokesmen, Lord, for you, that we would be those that would be speaking the gospel, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the fire in our heart would be burning so greatly that we can't help but speak of Christ. And that we would seek, Lord, in all of our relationships and all of the influence that we might have to obey God rather than man and to follow the standards of your word and not the standards of the world, and that we would be found to be standing firm without compromise upon the word of God. Give us the strength to do that, Lord. Help us to encourage each other in doing that, and we will point all of the glory back to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.